This podcast episode is powered by AfriPods, the world's number one podcasting platform for African stories.
Hello everyone, welcome to another podcast session, Markets Monday, by the Kenyan Wall Street and HISA team. Markets Monday is a podcast that we usually have a look on what happened on the market last week and probably if there's anything that's happened over the weekend that we need to know about that's likely to affect the stock market this week. Today, I'm joined by financial analyst Davis Kedinji, and I'm also joined by Erica Suma, who's the CEO at HISA Technologies and also a co-founder of the Kenyan Wall Street. So maybe we just move it right in. Davis, your opening remarks before we start.
Hi everyone. I'm really glad to be here. Yeah, looking forward to this session, talking about the markets and hopefully the prospects that we're looking forward to going forward. Yeah.
Awesome. Eric?
Hi guys. Happy to be in today's podcast. Looking forward to sharing insights and what's happening across the market.
Awesome. Now maybe we just dive into the NSE and tear it up from starting from the indices. The last week we saw the NSE All Share Index and the 25 Share Index gain. However, we saw the 20 Share Index, which I always think the 20 Share Index has a little bit of significant impact on mostly in terms of foreign investors who are coming in onto the market. The second week, we are seeing the NSE posting a week-on-week decline, the NSE 20 share index posting a week-on-week decline. What are your thoughts, gentlemen? I really want to know what you're thinking about this. Is there concerns, or we believe that the NSE is good as long as the all share index is rising?
Maybe Eric can start. So
interesting. I think we are still early in the year. Uh-huh. Still early to tell, but I think we might see some sort of revival in the market that might go up in the long run. So I think we are still early in the year to tell, but I'm still optimistic the market will go up today.
Awesome. So by that, we basically believe things are going to be right. I think what Eric is really putting is, remember last week when we spoke about the markets being a little bit, the markets have been trading at discounted prices for a very long time. We're likely to see a little bit of review on an upward review of most of these prices in the coming weeks. Right, Eric?
Yes. And particularly, I think what's interesting is that turnover, I think, in the last 2 weeks was a bit high.
Interesting. Yes. I know that's something that Davis wants to talk about. Davis, your take on the turnover for the exchange?
I genuinely believe that actually these indices, a lot of them have actually bottomed out. While there are pretty dim prospects, especially when the COVID pandemic set in, and in light of the fact that even prior to that we were in a bear market for a long period of time, looking at foreign inflow data, especially throughout January, foreign inflows not particularly to the NSE, but rather in Africa in general, I can generally see a trend as foreigners putting more and more money into our market. I've seen a lot of movement, especially on counters such as Safaricom, of course, offering the most liquidity. And so I believe going forward that there will be a recovery, that turnover will continue to increase. And actually, in light of that regard, I'm reminded of the new system that the NSE is putting in place. Maybe we'll touch on that a bit later. But yeah, seeing the cost-cutting measures that are taking effect that we're hoping will actually trickle down to the rest of market participants, to the rest of people who actually buy and trade. As we know, one of the biggest hindrances to investments in the NSE is just the costs. You know, like before you even make a profit, you have to realize that between 4 and 5% is what you need to make, you know, because of getting into a position and getting out. Yeah, so I genuinely believe that in light of these factors, in light of the world economy opening up, in light of how highly valued foreign stocks are, a lot of capital will be flying into developing nations seeking to get higher rates of return. And so possibly that could lead to more and more increase in turnover and, yeah, good prospects going forward.
Interesting. For those of you who are wondering about the foreign data last week we had foreign investors on the NSE hold a net selling position. They accounted for 46.8% of total market purchases and about 62.5% of the total market sales that happened during last week's session on the Nairobi Securities Exchange. Maybe now we move a little bit on to the stocks, picking on select stocks. Davis, when we had a conversation with you, and I know we also had a conversation with Eric about this, we believed that Safaricom had already reached a new all-time high, but we're seeing Safaricom making new highs all the time. Last week, Safaricom actually traded at 37.20 at some point on the market, though it eased later on in the week. But what are your thoughts, considering this is the largest component of the Nairobi Securities Exchange in terms of capitalization? Do you think we're likely to see the market continue to take a few odds again, or we should expect probably like a reversal?
Okay. Well, genuinely, especially from some data I saw recently, a lot of inflows, especially from foreigners, seems to focus on Safaricom. Their long-term prospects are really good with regard to the expansion into Ethiopia, even though that's been delayed a bit until April. Also, from April, that's when we'll know the way going forward, whether Safaricom will actually win the deal with the other consortium or not. But I like the fact that there's been a reversal on, for example, the M-Pesa charges, the measures that were taken to guard the country from the effects of COVID. That will increase their revenues, which of course will trickle down to the rest of us as investors. Even though the expansion into Ethiopia is really capital extensive, still I do believe that it is a very good counter, and that's why you're seeing a lot of foreigners in that stock. Actually, the last time I was here, I mentioned that even though it had gone down a bit, maybe 2-3% on that day, that was just a short-term trend. The long-term trend will always be up. Of course, my personal view is that it is quite significantly valued if you look at the present cash flows relative to what it's trading at. However, you have to realize that these are unprecedented times. A lot of foreign stocks especially are highly valued, even way more highly valued, you know, trading at extremely high price to equity ratio, PE ratios, etc. So I do believe Safaricom will continue on well going forward, and yeah, it is as always a good stock for the long term.
All right,
maybe on Safaricom I can give my thoughts. I think we've seen a few things happen on Safaricom. One, I think, Davis, you spoke about the new broker connectivity network that has been put into place. First, my comment is that I think that can improve a bit how fast we settle trades locally. I think that's positive for the market and the NSE and the industry at large. And then on the interest in Safaricom, I think foreign investors are happy with the Safaricom story. Despite the Ethiopian expansion going to cost them a bit of capex and all that, but I think in terms of how they price it, I think some time back, a few months ago, Safaricom and Visa entered into a partnership. I don't know even how to put M-Pesa as a standalone product, build more products around that.
Yeah.
I think that's coming along very well, and I think some of these foreign investors are pricing in that. Then also, I think about a week or two, Citi released a report downgrading Safaricom. I don't know if you saw that. Saying that they were uncertain about the regulatory challenges. But I think Safaricom has been in this market for a very long time. They understand the market. The relationship with the regulator has been a good one. So I don't think that should be a worry.
Yeah.
Yeah. But overall, I think it's more of a wait and see approach, but it's I see a lot of demand for the counter, particularly from the foreign investors, and given it, Safaricom is one of the few counters that it's one of the few counters that it's very liquid and usually attracts a lot of these foreign investors.
Yeah, which is both good and bad in that it takes so much of the market, you know, 60% of the market. But yeah, future prospects are amazing. Great, the new products that they are bringing up. Yeah, those are really good insights.
Great. So, do we call shots on Safaricom?
It So wait and see.
Wait and see. Okay, everyone. Remember once again, what we usually say in this session is that whatever we discuss here is purely for informational purposes. If you need to buy a stock, please consider financial advisor, reach out to your broker, your dealer, and do in-depth analysis and research on your own. This is not an advice to buy or sell a security. Now, we've looked onto Safaricom, and I wouldn't want to leave one of the blue chip companies that traded last week. East African Breweries Limited was the top gainer week on week on the NSE. I'm wondering, what are your thoughts, gentlemen? We know the results for EABL were fairly flat. I don't know what you guys think. Do you think that we're likely to see EABL get back to the glory that it had previously, or this is a short-term trading prospect? Eric, we can start with you.
EABL has been one of the most preferred counters by, I think, both institutions and even foreigners.
Yeah.
I think during when they released their results, there was a slight decline in the Kenyan market, but the other markets in the East African region, that's TZ, that's, I think they saw some sort of some bit of growth. But I think the decline in the local market in revenues can be attributed to the lockdown. The lockdowns, because I think, as you're aware, most people weren't going out to the clubs and all that. But I foresee this after the vaccines come into place, maybe things come back into normal, which we don't know when. But I expect the numbers to, their earnings to go back to where they were.
Yeah, actually, on that note, EABL is a really good stock. I wish I could buy it at 100. Yeah, because you can imagine with all those lockdowns, one of the sectors that was most impacted, of course, was the services industry, etc., bars and restaurants, etc., closed. So the earnings prospects for EABL, I was actually expecting them to be way worse in light of the closure of the Kisumu plant, in light of all these many myriads of things that were affecting them. But interestingly, as Eric has said, they were resilient, and I believe going forward, even as the economy continues to open up, they will pick up. It's good that they were buoyed, in a sense, buffered by the Tanzania market, which I don't think closed down really. Life just continued as usual, which is a really good thing for them. Yeah, and you know, with how strong their brand is, they have a really good moat, in a sense. They have a really good control over the market, and so going forward, I would actually pick up EABL as much as possible, hoping that it goes down, not that the company struggles, but the share price goes down so we can buy more, in a sense.
And then I also think that the main reason why EABL also rallied is because, you know, just as Eric has said, EABL is one of those companies that we have corporate individuals, those are fund managers, and we have also foreign individuals looking onto EABL as one of the value stocks on the NSE. So when the price came down and they released their earnings, we got a lot of traction. So this is one thing that retail individuals can learn, that at any point, whenever prices go down, for mostly these companies that have a lot of fundamentals, a stronger fundamental, there's always going to be a buy rush at any point when the prices go down. Because you see, in our retail market, just as we always talk about, is our retail individuals will always try to run away from a stock when the prices are coming down. It shouldn't be the case. It's always supposed to be a point where when prices are down, you buy. When prices are up, you sell, as long as the company is fundamentally sane. So that's possibly something we could part with today. Then finally, I know we've looked on fundamentally stable stocks. We are going to look at the banking sector as a whole, but now looking onto some stocks as well that have made news the past week. We've seen Cabacity and BOC, the merger, the buyout, technically it's not a merger. What are your thoughts? Because now we are looking on a few issues coming up, and we're seeing investors bring in a lot of, a lot of drama on the buyout. And we're seeing for the second time, BOC has actually extended the period to serve the shareholders with the offer statement. Eric, you've been following up on this. What's your take?
I think some of such transactions that we've seen at the NSE over the last couple of years Very few have gone through. Others hit such, let's say, regulatory headways. And really our market, as you're aware, I think no one expected such a delay. But I think from following up on some of the conversations with friends in the market, I think the question is, was it a fair value for the price that they were offering the takeover, or was the price making sense? I think that's what's bringing the challenge now.
I think it's going to be a major challenge. Maybe Davis can mention something onto that.
Okay, well, it's interesting how years ago, maybe it was in 2005 or 2009, Bok is actually the one which wanted to take over Kabasi. Then now the rules have changed. I found that interesting.
Yeah.
I genuinely believe the merger or the takeover will actually be a good thing, in that the entity that will be made will be quite a significant player in both East and Central Africa. Mm-hmm. As you know, Bok takes up a lot of the oxygen supplies towards hospitals and the like, while Kabasi is mainly centered on carbonated drinks, etc. And the entity that would be made, I mean, if they tried it twice, it means that they're genuinely sure that whichever entity is produced would be a really good one. It's unfortunate that they're facing a lot of hurdles. I think this morning or yesterday, there was someone who sued to actually stop the deal until they're remunerated, something along those lines, which is unfortunate. But I do believe it is a good play on Kabasi's part. In fact, they actually said that Bok is the one that approached them for them to be acquired.
So exactly. I was just about to mention that. For those of you who have not seen this, there was a statement by Linde Group that actually said that they approached Kabasi so that Kabasi can buy, because they wanted to exit the East African market. I believe that some of these transactions, it won't be in my level to give an opinion on it, but I still think that some of these transactions are good with shareholders on the loop. And I feel some of them are good as out, because you'd imagine what would happen if Linde Group would pull out of BOC and leave the company to shareholders. I believe that the strategy that Linde Group has put in the company is something to look into, and probably that's why they also wanted to hand it over to another, probably more stable organization to handle it. But we'll see on that how it goes. So now maybe as we wrap up the session, we can probably have a brief of just how markets, of how other segments performed last week. Eric, your take on the banking sector. Let's start. We definitely have to touch on the banking sector every week, guys.
Okay, interesting. I think we, in the coming weeks, we will see a lot of activity in the banking sector, given the earnings season will begin. So I think at the moment, what we saw during the Q3 earnings results, I think there was a lot of banks reported declining numbers. I think nothing much changed during the fourth quarter, right? Mm. So that trend is, I see that trend continuing in terms of declining earnings, but then hopefully that might pick up probably from when they begin reporting their Q1, Q2, and forward.
Actually, on that note, you know, the interesting thing is that non-performing loans have increased quite tremendously, and then now the amount of loans that were actually restructured, I think, were 54% of the entirety of the loan book.
Yes.
Now, of course, the hope is that majority of these restructured loans, that it would be better, like a lot of these companies will and the individuals will recover, etc. However, that may not be the case. I see prudence on the part of the banks, especially the ones that really took large loan loss provisions, preparing for the inevitable, quote unquote. And so in that particular regard, I think the worst may be behind us with regard to the banking sector. And yeah, while earnings I know will be significantly lower, a lot of them have issued profit warnings. Going forward, the banking sector is really undervalued. You find certain banks trading at or at par or below their book value. So yeah, those are good prospects going forward. And you know, with some of the banks especially expanding even beyond Kenya, I think going forward there'll be a good recovery.
Yeah. Interesting, guys. I don't know, maybe if there's any other sector you guys would want to look into. I know there's also been a little bit of activity on the manufacturing sector, but then last time we say Davis would mention something on the energy sector. Davis, what's your finding on KPLC? Do you call shots? Or do you think we need to exit that company? Once again, remember the disclaimer, guys, this is not an opinion to buy, this is just a discussion we're having for information purposes. Davis?
KPLC has a myriad of problems. Actually, that may be, but don't quote me anywhere, that may be one of the reasons why they have delayed their results a bit. They're saying that, you know, they've taken on a new auditor. Unfortunately, with regard to the expansion process, you know, Kenya has actually had one of the fastest growths in customers in the entire world with regard to connectivity to the national grid, which has been a good thing, and it's been in line with the government's plans of expansion, etc., possibly Vision 2030. Unfortunately, this has come at a very huge cost. As we know, debt fuel expansion usually has bad results, especially when revenues are not sufficing. You know, while customers have gone up, revenue per customer has actually gone down quite tremendously from, I think, a high of 46 shillings in roughly 2011-2012. I need to look at my data. I'll have a report on the same. It's actually reduced to somewhat below 20 at present, which is not a good thing. The only thing that will buffer KPLC, or the only thing that they're actually doing right now, is that they're getting moratoriums. Of course, they're renegotiating their loans, etc., because they're in breach of some of their covenants. A covenant is like a loan that is given to a company or an individual on the basis that they will keep up certain ratios, you know, for current ratio, etc. Now, KPLC has decimated their ratio. That's how badly it is trading at. For example, the current ratio is extremely low. So all these factors, their debts, etc., at one point or another, they can't keep on kicking the can down the road. They will have to, you know, pay the pipeline in a sense. And so one of the things that I genuinely think must happen is an increase in electricity prices, as they mentioned, by 20%. So yeah, that's the prospect on KPLC. The earnings, of course, will be bad. I think they'll announce a loss of roughly 2 billion, at least, if we're not mistaken. Yeah, and then that is likely also to affect Kenjen. Kenjen, of course, is one of the best companies. I mean, it's only trading at 2x its earnings. Like, go and buy that company.
I've seen guys call Kenjen a corporate enterprise. Maybe next time we'll be able to dive in into that. So guys, remember, we always have to mention a few things regarding the global markets. I don't know about you, last week we saw commodities, we saw oil gain, we saw gold decline. We're seeing a lot of activities happening on cryptos. I don't know who to start with. Eric, you want to mention something on global markets?
Interesting. Across the global markets, it's been quite a ride, I think, from crypto to the energy markets. I think talking on oil, what's been happening, I think it was the OPEC meeting, whereby I think the members agreed on a few deals, which included, I think, some of them that cut their production target, I think,
yes,
which was a good one, that raised the prices. And then developments around the vaccine, that's pushing the oil markets up. And then for me, what's happening across the crypto, I think there was a boost from, is it Elon and the CEO of Twitter? I think that was a good boost.
Yeah.
I think last week we saw specifically Bitcoin recover and hit the new highs that it had hit in January. That's topping, I think, around 41K.
Yeah.
And it made some of these gains, it recovered some of these gains that it had lost over the last few weeks. Then there's a new, not really a new coin, but there's the Dogecoin. some of these meme coins, I think, it's something interesting, the power of how just very few people can move the market through Twitter and all that. And I think also across the market, we've seen there was some earnings releases across the global market, the big tech, some of these big corporations like Amazon.
Yeah,
all this releasing and they were pretty impressive results. And looking at the likes of Alphabet, PayPal, eBay, What I think after releasing the earnings, the sharp prices went up. See some of these opportunities that we really don't have locally, but it's good to talk about them.
Yeah.
Then in terms of what's expected, I think the US, the Biden administration, I think, decided to go ahead with the 1.9 stimulus package, and I think that's coming along very well because they decided to go ahead even without the approval of the Republican, right?
Yeah.
I think that's expected. They had made some significant progress in terms of the talks. That's supposed, I think, in the hopefully in the was it in, the, in this week or the second? Very, I think yeah, very soon we expect that to be passed,
yeah.
And that might push the U.S. markets even higher. And I think from my view is that imagine if this some of this cash gets into the hands of some of these retail traders. What happens to some of these meme stocks like GameStop, Nokia, AMC, and the rest?
I think guys are going global.
Mm-hmm.
We really need to start thinking from a global perspective on all our markets. I think it's going to be something very interesting in the near future, Eric. So I think that's something for global markets. Not forgetting, let me just mention something on the fixed income segment. We've seen a little bit of an increase in terms of subscription on the bond market. I don't know if any of you has a comment on that. In my opinion, I still think we're likely to see a little bit of a subscription on our fixed income segment at Central Bank, either on the treasury bill options and also with the bond issuance. The previous week, I believe there was a primary that CBK had issued, and I still think that as long as we're likely to have even both local and foreign investors getting in onto the market, because I believe that as our markets proceed over time, we'll be able to see with global rates, interest rates mainly on the global markets being flat or near zero rates, and with our market being some of the most lucrative in terms of investment, we're likely to see sort of like a rise and a continued demand on our markets.
Yeah, actually,
on the bond market. I don't know if you guys look at it from the same angle.
Yes. So actually, just though you mentioned, nominal returns in foreign markets are, you know, 0 point something. That means real returns after inflation are negative. So effectively, it's like you're giving the negative interest rates are a really interesting topic. Let's just say that. So yeah, foreign interest will continue with regard to the bond market and also local, as I believe banks and other institutions want to offset their risks from smaller borrowers going forward, as companies indeed continue to recover from the effects of COVID, etc. And so, you know, the government becomes the entity that is most sought after to give loans, especially considering the infrastructure projects that are coming in and a lot of those being requiring a lot of debt. So I believe that will continue going forward. That's much it.
All right, but I'm also seeing Central Bank is also trying to probably manage the rate at which these returns are being issued at, the bonds and the bills. Because last week, the 91-day T-bill, the average dropped slightly to 6.87 from previous 6.90. The average interbank rate also declined a bit, around 21 basis points to 5.40 from 5.61. So we're likely to see a little bit, though I still believe our fixed income market is going to be within the same range. I think that's something to watch over. For today, probably where we leave Davis, so that next time we'll still have him on board. I believe next time he has to mention something about negative interest rates. He's just mentioned something a bit on it. He said it's an interesting topic. I believe that it will be an interesting session to an interesting discussion to have him enlighten us on that. So that's it for today's podcast, everyone. Thank you all for tuning in. Remember, you can follow markets on HISA. Download the HISA app on your mobile phone. Get a view of the market. And very soon, within the next few weeks, we'll probably be giving you guys a look on global markets. So that's something you really, really want to look into. Thank you all and have a lovely week ahead.
Bye. Thank you.
Bye-bye.